Amen. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the song that the choir sang. And they sing that every year on the anniversary of us coming to Grace Baptist Church. 9 years ago today, the Lord allowed us the great privilege to come here. And so we are very thankful for you. And we're excited about the years to come and what the Lord will do. And thank you for your love and your faithfulness. And we're just praising God for that. Let's take the Word of God this morning. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. I want to, this morning, conclude a series that I've been dealing with, the parables in the Bible. And someone has said they're the greatest stories ever told. And I truly believe that. And today I want to come to Luke chapter 10 in kind of preparation for the Christmas season. And I want to preach to you this morning on this question. Who is my neighbor? This question was asked the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was not a sincere question. It was a question meant to kind of stump the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine someone trying to stump the Lord? And they meant it to make him look bad. They meant it to try to discredit him. But the Lord, in return, gives us the parable of what we would call the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? And by the way, as we think about this Thanksgiving season, I trust that you had a great week and a good time to be with your family. And I was able to talk to many people on the phone, talk to my mom and dad. And of course, my wife was able to talk to her parents. And Thanksgiving time is a great time, is it not? And I'll tell you, I know this, I feel like during Thanksgiving season, I just get bigger and bigger for Jesus all the time, you know? And kind of reminds me of the lady who was shopping in the grocery store, and she could not find a turkey that she thought was big enough for her and her family. And she found a clerk there, a stock boy that was kind of helping, and she said to the stock boy, she said, "Son, do these turkeys get any bigger?" And the boy looked down at the turkeys and said, "No, ma'am, they're dead," you know. And so, well, I feel like I've gotten bigger, you know, over Thanksgiving time. The turkey maybe didn't get bigger, but I did. But I'm so grateful that you're here today. And it's a great season that God has given to us. And by the way, let me encourage you this Christmas season. Will you be a neighbor to other people? Now, by the way, when we think about that term, you can think about, I grew up in the South, and often people would have phrases that they would use. For instance, I remember growing up, I would hear often from preachers that they would say, "When was the last time that you helped someone in need?" Now, that was a very Southern thing, and it was kind of being neighborly, being kind and gracious. Well, I don't believe the kindness is just limited to the South or to different areas of the country. I believe that God's people are to be people who have compassion on those in need. Now, today, as we look at this story, I know that we've often heard this story, maybe in Sunday school and different places, to where we think, this is good, Pastor, and yes, we should be like the Good Samaritan, and we should help people. But I want you to see something different today. We're going to look at three different type of people. We're going to look at a priest, we're going to look at a Levite, and then we're going to look at the Samaritan. We know him as the Good Samaritan. But may I remind you, and may I remind myself, that as we look in this passage, you and I are either the priest, or the Levite, or the Samaritan. There is really no other middle ground. And by the way, I have been the priest, I have been the Levite, and I have been the Samaritan, but I want to live my life being a neighbor to those who are in need. Now, by the way, the man who asked this question did not ask it legitimately. He did not ask it because he didn't really know who his neighbor was. He was trying to justify himself because he had no compassion. The question this morning, who is my neighbor? Let's read it together. Luke chapter 10, and we begin in verse number 25. If you will follow along. Now, by the way, when the Bible uses the word lawyer here, it is not as a lawyer that we would know him or her today. The word literally means a scribe. It was an authority on Old Testament law. So when you see this word lawyer, it is referring to the scribe. He was a man who knew the Old Testament, and he was an authority on the law of God. Let's read Luke chapter 10, and we begin in verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Now think, Jesus is saying to him, well, you know the law. What does the law say? What readest thou? Verse 27, And he, the scribe, answering, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I believe that when that scribe quoted just a portion of the law, and by the way, the Bible says that the law can be summed up in that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. And that's what the scribe did. I believe that in my heart, he was convicted about this phrase, thy neighbor as thyself. Because this is what he said. Let's read on here in verse 28. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, by the way, before you think that Jesus is excusing someone for work salvation, that's not what the Son of God is doing. He is saying that it's right. And scribe, if you can keep the whole law, then you will have eternal life. Well, the problem this morning is Jesus knew, and that man knew, that no man can keep the law. Nobody has ever kept the law. No one is perfect and sinless except the very Son of God himself. Jesus Christ was the only one who could ever keep the law. And Jesus said to this scribe, hey, listen, you know the law. What does the law say? And the man said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy mind and soul and strength and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, yes, you're correct. This do and thou shalt live. Let's read on here. The Bible says in verse 29, But he, speaking of the scribe, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Would you underline that little phrase, half dead? And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, and you ought to underline that little phrase because you ought to ask yourself the question, which one am I like? Which one of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now here is what is taking place. This man is trying to justify himself. And by the way, we do the very same thing, do we not? We know what the Bible teaches us. We know what the Word of God says. But we are good at excusing ourselves to not living up to the standard that God has us to live up to. And this man, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Jesus, who is my neighbor?" And almost a case of, "Lord, I don't know who my neighbor is." And the man knew exactly what the Bible had taught. Jesus, now if you think here for a moment that Jesus answers that question, he does not. In fact, Jesus does not ask the same question. Instead, he says, "Who will be a neighbor to those in need?" The ideal this morning is not that we do not know who our neighbor is. The question this morning that God has for you and me is, will we be a neighbor to those that are in need? Will we show compassion? Will we have love and mercy on those in need? This morning, who is my neighbor? Number one, I want you to notice some things here this morning. Number one, we notice the condition of the traveler. Now, here is this man. Now, by the way, let me lay a little groundwork for you here. Here is this man. He is leaving Jerusalem. Now, by the way, Jerusalem was the city of God, the holy city, a very sacred place. And the man is going down to Jericho. Jericho was a cursed city. And by the way, that road that led from there, that old Roman highway, was known during that time as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It really was. It was a rocky place. There were caves and there were mountain places. There were hiding places. And it was a great place for thieves and robbers and murderers to kind of sneak and hide out there. And they would attack people that were on that road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And here is a man. Now the Bible calls him a certain man. Here he is, and we believe, according to the Bible, that he was a Jew. In fact, it seems to appear that God insinuates that in his word. And here is this man. He comes from the holy city, and he goes down to Jericho. By the way, the condition of this man is just like the condition of this world that is lost without Jesus Christ. Now look at this man. Here he comes. He's traveling down this road. Let's go back to our text in Luke chapter number 10. And notice what the Bible says. It says in verse 30, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now notice the Bible is clear when it uses that phrase, half dead. The man was not dead, but the man was not going to live long. In fact, the Lord here says to us, he is half dead. Is he going to live or is he going to die? And really the condition of this man rests upon the response of those who find him. And brethren, may I tell you today that we live in a world that is half dead. A world that is half dead. They are going to live for eternity with Jesus Christ, or they are going to die without Christ and spend eternity in a place called hell. They're half dead. And brethren, their condition rests on whether or not we will respond to the command of God and we will have compassion and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Folks, today the condition of this man is just like the condition of every person without Jesus Christ. They are wounded. They are laying there beaten. They are laying there half dead. And brethren, I want you to see, you know, during this Christmas time, it is so easy to get wrapped up in just our own lives, is it not? What we have to get and what we have to buy and what we have to get ready for. And I understand that. And even here at church, it is a busy time with programs and Operation Christmas Gift and all the different things that we do. But may I say to you that we must understand that who is our neighbor? I'll tell you who your neighbor is. It is anyone that God brings in your path that has need. That's your neighbor. You see, my neighbor is not just my next door neighbor or the neighbor to the right of me or the neighbor to the left of me in my subdivision. It is anyone that God brings in my path that has need. Do you know that there are people all around us that we meet at work, that we meet at the grocery store, that we meet out shopping? People that are just like this traveler. They're wounded. They're wounded by sin. Yes, they're wounded by their own self-inflicted sin. That they're wounded by hurts and wounded by pain. They have been deceived by the great deceiver. In fact, does not the Bible teach us that the devil, oh listen, he is a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and a murderer. Is it not true that the devil is having his way with the lost of this world? In fact, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, the condition of this man, here he is, laying there on the road. He's bleeding. He's beaten. He's robbed. He's half dead. He doesn't, listen, I don't know if the man's going to live. I don't know if the man's going to die. And if he is left to himself, let me tell you, he will die. If no one comes to his aid, he will die. That is a picture. Think of that man laying there on the road. That is the picture of this lost and dying world in which we live in today. They are half dead. And unless God's people take the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, they will die in their sin and spend eternity separated from God. Do you understand that this Christmas time, listen, it is about the giving. But folks, the greatest gift that we could give is to share the gospel with those that are lost. We are to help those in need. Here is this Good Samaritan. He had compassion on this man. Now notice something, folks, today. My responsibility and your responsibility is to go to those that are half dead. So we see, number one, the condition of this traveler. But number two, I want you to see the callousness of those passing by. The callousness. Have you ever seen someone in great need and for someone to pass by them and never help? Never offer to help? You know, it is amazing to me that we live in a world that is so self-consumed. But let's bring it home. Listen, folks, we all are self-consumed, are we not? By nature, we are selfish people. By nature, it is what we can do for ourselves. And we got to take care of ourselves and watch out for ourselves. But the callousness and the cold-heartedness that we find in this passage is what Jesus was dealing with. Listen, this scribe who gave this question, "Lord, who is my neighbor?" trying to justify himself. Jesus goes to the heart of the issue and he deals with the callousness of this man. Now, I want you to notice the Bible gives us three different pictures of men here. We first come to the priest. Now, look in verse number 31 and notice what the Bible says. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way." Now, let's stop and think about the priest. Now, who was the priest? He was a preacher. He was, no doubt, a man that in many ways, he stood in the gap between God and man. In many ways, he was to share and love the people and take care of the people. He was a man who gave sacrifices and offerings on behalf of the people. But here is a priest. He walks by. He's on that valley of the shadow of death. Now look, we can say, well, Pastor, maybe the priest was scared. No doubt that was a scary road to travel. But yet it almost appears that God in his providence allowed that priest down that road. And here is the priest. He comes down the road and he finds a man there, a Jewish man who is beaten, a man that is lying there half dead. And look what the Bible says in verse 31. Look what it says this man did. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." He said, "Yeah, I'm busy. I've got a lot to do today, and I've got a lot of jobs to take care of, and I've got a lot of responsibilities." He passed by on the other side. You know something, what that man did? He avoided that man. In many ways, he said, "I don't have the time. I'm not willing to spend the resources. I cannot, will not help this man. Brethren, today I look at that priest, a man that we would expect to have mercy, to show compassion, a man that is supposed to love people. And yet God calls out the callousness and the coldness of his heart. You know something, brethren, today I wonder how often we are like the priest. We see the need. We see those that are half dead. We see needs of people. And by the way, I'm not speaking to you today just about giving out the gospel. You know something, I'm speaking about any way that we can help those in need. And you know something, folks, I'll tell you this. We should be the kind of people that are looking to help those in need. We should never say, well, that person's saved, so I don't have time to help them, and I don't need to help them. No, we should help all those that are in need. We should help our brother in Christ, but we should help the lost. And listen, it could be simple things as helping a neighbor with their yard, or helping someone plow their driveway, or helping someone, giving them something nice and kind, and doing something gracious to them. You know, I remember my wife and I, we were married and just been married just for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 months. And we were newly married, and I remember one day we were at a restaurant. I can still remember this. I don't know who it was, but someone paid for our meal when we were there. Now look, we didn't have a whole lot really at that time, you know. I remember us moving from Tennessee to Illinois, and I got a big old truck. And everything fit on the floor of the truck, you know. Nothing was stacked on anything, you know. And I kind of over-exaggerated my need there. And but you know something? God used that day to encourage our hearts. Still to this day, I don't know it, but I remember it. I remember that day because that was, in a sense, not that that man or knew that we had a need, but God met a need in our life. You know something, when you and I are kind and gracious and helpful and loving and looking to help those in need, we are like the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the greatest sermon that you could ever preach to someone is helping those that are in need. In fact, Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, you know something? He went about doing good. He went about helping those in need. In fact, the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them and he loved them and helped them. But are you and I like the priest that we look upon people that are half dead and we may think to ourselves, boy, those people are going to be so draining on me. They're going to take so much of my time. They're going to take so much of my resources. I just don't have time for that. I've got busier things and better things to do. Maybe that's what the priest thought. But he passed by on the other side. Folks, today, God wants to deal with the callousness of our own hearts. Now, let's go to the second figure that we find here. And we notice the Levite. Would you go to verse number 32? The Bible says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. Now, the Levite, this was a man who was a little more elevated in the religious system. In fact, he held a great position, but he had no compassion. Here was a man, the Bible in fact says that he saw him, verse 32, he came and looked on him. Now, I believe what the Bible is saying here, he came close to him. Maybe even looked upon him and thought, boy, there's a great need here. This man is going to die. But he passed by on the other side. You know something? I wonder how many times you and I have not given a gospel tract. We've just passed by on the other side. I wonder how many times we have not helped people in need. We've just passed by on the other side. We have not showed care. We have not showed love. We have not showed compassion to them. Jesus wants to deal with us today. He wants to deal with me. He wants to deal with you. By the way, do you look at people? How do you see people? You know, I think that's a good question for us to ask. Listen, do you see people and you look at them and think, I want to avoid them? Do you look at them and say that they're going to be a distraction to me? Do you look at them and say, how can I get advantage from them? Or do you look at people with compassion? You know something, it's easier for you and me to look at someone and think, good night, look at that person. Look how they act. Look at their attitude. Look at the way that they're so rebellious and look at their spirit. But can I tell you something? They're half dead. They're half dead. They're lying. Listen, they may not be lying there physically, but they are lying there spiritually speaking, and they need what only Jesus Christ can give to them. Now, the third and the last thing that God brings us to here, not only do we see the condition of this traveler, the callousness of the people, number three, we see the compassion of the Savior. Let's look at it here. Would you go to verse number 33? But a certain Samaritan. Let me stop and say this. When the Lord Jesus used that phrase, Samaritan, it was like an open wound that you would pour salt into. You know why? Because the Jews hated the Samaritans. And by the way, the Samaritans hated the Jews. You say, well, Pastor, why? Well, the Samaritans were Jews who had intermarried with Gentiles, and they were a mixed race. In fact, back, I think it was around 553 B.C., they were living in the city of Samaria. They were known as Samaritans because they were Jews that had intermarried with the Gentiles. When the second temple was being built during 553 B.C., the Samaritans went down and offered to help build it with the Jews. Well, the Jews wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. So the Samaritans went out and built their own temple. And they started their own worship. They were despised. The Jews hated them. And when Jesus here, he takes a respectable man called a priest. And he says the priest passed by on the other side. He was cold-hearted. He was callous to the need of this man. And then when Jesus brought up the Levite, here was a respectable man. I mean, here was a man that was of the Levitical order. I mean, he was a special man. But he looked upon him and passed by on the other side. And when Jesus said, but a certain Samaritan, boy, that angered that scribe. Why? Because, you see, Jesus was dealing with the heart issue of the scribe. The scribe was a man with great authority and great power and great respect, but he had prejudice in his heart. He had in his heart malice and hatred. He could never have compassion if he was not willing to love everyone. And let me say this to you this morning. You know something? The Lord often deals with why we do not show compassion on other people. It is often because of prejudice that we may have in our heart. It is often because of unforgiveness and bitterness that we may have to a family member, that we may have to a loved one, we may have to a coworker, and the Lord is really dealing with that issue in our heart. It's that root of bitterness. And I believe the Lord is dealing with this scribe. By the way, the Lord loved that scribe. He loved that man. He wanted that man to have compassion like the good Samaritan. Look, listen to what it says. We go back here to verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, notice this, he had compassion on him. Now, by the way, do you know that compassion causes us to move to action? If you and I really have compassion on people, look, we can say, well, I have compassion on those people. But if you do nothing to help them, this is not compassion. It is nothing but pity. Do you know that this world does not need pity? They need the compassion of Jesus Christ from us. They need it. And by the way, when we look at this certain Samaritan, can I tell you what it is a great picture of? It is a great picture of Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at it together. Notice what it goes on to say. This man, he had compassion on him. Verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You know something? This Good Samaritan was a picture of our Savior. By the way, do you know that here is the Samaritan, all right? He is helping a Jew. He is being kind and gracious and merciful. He is having compassion on a man who doesn't even like him. And that is a picture of our Savior today. Our Savior who loves us when we did not love Him. A Savior who had compassion on us when we had no compassion on Him. A Savior who has mercy on us when we have no mercy on Him. Jesus came into His own and His own received Him not. They spit upon Him. They mocked Him. They beat Him. They ridiculed Him. And yet Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is the picture of our Savior. And that is the picture of the Samaritan. Look at this man. Hated, mocked, ridiculed, rejected by the Jews. They want nothing to do with him. But a Samaritan helps a Jew in need. He goes to him. Oh, listen. I love this picture here today. And may God help each and every one of us to be like the Good Samaritan. To be like Him and to remove our prejudices, to remove our hatred, to remove our spite and our malice of others, and have compassion. That is what makes the difference. Do you know something? Pity makes no difference. But in the book of Jude, in verse 22, it says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." I wonder something today. Do you want to make a difference with your life? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I believe in here, most of us would say, "Yes, Pastor, I want to make a difference." Can I tell you this? I want to make a difference with my life. But listen, you know how you make a difference? With compassion. Compassion. Oh, brethren, today, may God help us to see this picture and to desire to be like our Heavenly Father. Notice what it goes on to say. Verse 34, and I love this. It says, "He went to him." I don't even think of that. I mean, no doubt this Samaritan could have thought, "Man, if I go to him, the robbers may be close by and they're going to pounce on me and kill me." But he went to him. It was dangerous and it wasn't accepted, but he went to him. The Bible goes on to say, "and bound up his wounds." Look here, can I tell you this? Sometimes we can look at people and almost despise them or disgust them in our heart. We look at their actions and we hate it. Now look, I'm not saying that we should ever excuse sin in someone's life. We should never excuse that. We should never condone sin. We should never say, "Well, that's okay. That's no problem." No, listen, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, and what is disobedient to God should never be acceptable to us." But let me say this to you. We should never look at someone in disgust and pass by the other side. You know why? They have wounds. 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 They're wounded by the devil. They're wounded by their friends. They're wounded by the world. They're wounded. And guess what? They're half dead. They need the Savior. But look what the Samaritan did. The Bible says he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Now, why does God say that? Now, we understand those were medicinal things that a person would use during this time. But oil is always a picture in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. And wine is always a picture of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something today. I don't know if you're lost or saved here today, but you need the oil and wine of God. You need the Holy Spirit, who is the only one that can heal our wounds. And you need the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all our sin. You see, what a great picture of our Savior. And our Savior who went to the cross and He bled and died for the sins of all mankind. He shed His blood for you and me. He had compassion. The Bible goes on to say, notice what it says here in verse 34. It says, "And He set him on his own beast." Look, you say, "Well, what does that matter?" Oh, listen, that Samaritan got off of his beast. He took down from his place of authority, his place of honor, and he humbled himself. And he set that Jew on his own beast. Think of that. He put the man there and he was going to walk. He was going to suffer the road. Look here. Look, I'll tell you what most of us do not want to do. We do not want to humble ourselves. We want others to be humbled. We do not want to kind of walk while others are setting up high. We want others to be brought down low. You know something? I believe that's why the Bible says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. This man humbled himself. And brethren, what a picture of our Savior. Jesus Christ, who was willing to leave the grandeur, the splendor, the power of heaven. And he humbled himself. And he became a man. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus was born and he took upon himself human flesh. And he humbled himself to become a man. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. He was the God-man. But not only that, he became a servant. But not only that, he became an obedient servant. But not only that, he was willing to go to the cross and to be humiliated on the cross. Can I tell you what he did? He had compassion on you and me. Brethren, if Jesus Christ had not had compassion on you and me, listen, he had every right to leave us in our sin. He had every right because we rebelled against a holy God. Listen, it is our sin, and that is in the face of our Savior. But our Savior humbled himself. He goes on, and notice what the Bible says here. In verse 34, it says, and took care of him. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. And I want you to listen to me. Some people give money so that they don't have to give of themselves and of their time. But some people give time so that they don't have to give of their money. But here we find a man who gave of his money, who gave of his time, who gave of his everything. That is what real compassion is like. And brethren, today, you know something? I see a Savior in Luke chapter 10. And by the way, when you read the Bible, look for Jesus on every page, because you'll find him. But I find a Savior here. He is the great Samaritan of all. He is our shepherd. He is the one who cares for the wounded. He cares for the forsaken. He cares for the helpless. And the priest and the Levite who walked by on the other side, they said, we want nothing to do with him. We don't have time for him. He's probably going to die anyway. What use is it? But then a man, a certain Samaritan, said, I will care for the wounded. I will care for the helpless. I will care for the forsaken. Folks, that is who our Savior is. And this morning, you may think you are too far gone, not for Jesus Christ. You may think this morning that God has forsaken you, but he will never forsake you. You may think this morning that you are helpless. Oh, listen, you are not helpless because Jesus can come to your aid. And brethren, today, what are you like? Are you like the Levite? I'm sad to say there's been times when I look back on opportunities that I had to be a help to a neighbor in need, and I walked by on the other side. I think back to times when I was a priest and, you know, I just walked by on the other side. I don't have time for that. That's going to cost me a great deal. And by the way, let me say this to you. Please hear me out. If you love people, you open yourself up to hurt and to pain. By the way, if you love people, you will. You'll open yourself up. And some of you have said, I'm not going to love again because it hurts too much. But if you love people, there is a price to pay. Think of our Savior. He came into his own and his own received him not. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was rejected of men. He was despised and he was ridiculed. But he loved in spite of all that. And brethren, today God has called us to love the unlovable. To care for those that cannot care for themselves. To help those that are in need. We are to show compassion. In fact, would you take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter number 3. Go to 1 John chapter number 3, almost to the very end of the Bible. Folks, your neighbor is any person in need. Any person that God brings along your path. Any person that you can help. I am not giving this illustration for any other reason than just to give an illustration of what God can do. Years ago, I had the privilege to be a part of a public school Bible club when I was in college. And I remember the morning very specifically. It was around Christmas time. And I came to this school, and kids assembled before school time, and we had a Bible club, and I was just young. I think I was 20 years of age at the time. And a young man raised his hand for a prayer request. We had prayer requests at the very beginning. And he said, "Would you pray for my family? My dad just passed away 2 days ago." And boy, you know, it took me by surprise, such to a degree. I was just like, "Yes, we will pray for you." And he gave his name. Well, my heart was so burdened for that boy. And I thought, is anybody going to help him? Is anybody? I mean, what's happened to him? So after it was over, I remember going to the office and I said, "Look, I know that you're probably not supposed to do this, but here's a young man." I gave his name and I said, "He asked prayer for his family because his dad just passed away." And the secretary there said, "Yes, sir, his dad just passed away 2 days ago, tragic accident, and the family." And I said, "Do they have a preacher? Do they have a pastor? Do they have anybody?" And the lady said, "I don't know, sir." And I said, "Ma'am, look, I know you're not supposed to do this, but could you give me his address and let me try to help him?" And she said, "I'm not supposed to do it, but I'm going to do it." She gave me the address, and I remember going. I took someone with me, and I went to that home. I don't know if I'll ever forget that day, walking into that home, and just almost death was everywhere. And they were a family that they were religious, and but just religious in name only. No preacher, no one had come to see them in their time of need. And I remember, I'm 20 years of age. I mean, I'm not an assistant pastor. I'm not even graduated from college. And I sat there and I tried to help them, encourage them. And I just simply tried to be a blessing to them. And honestly, I was probably a terrible help. But I invited them to come to church that next Sunday. And I said, "Would you please come?" And I'll be honest with you, I thought they're not going to come. But that next Sunday morning, that whole family came to church. They came to church. And I'm going to tell you something. During the invitation time, that family walked the aisle and every one of them trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something. Now look, I have failed God more than I would like to admit on when I've been a priest and I've been a Levite. And I have passed by on the other side. And you know, we've all are guilty today. Let's just be honest with ourselves. But I thank God that day that I had compassion on a family. And you know something, brethren? How many opportunities have we missed? How many people has God sent our way, but we're too busy? We got bigger things to do, more important things to do. It's going to cost us something to do that. We might get hurt in the midst of it. Our hearts might get stepped on again. We might get wounded again. We might get hurt again if we reach out and have compassion. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus here is saying, "Go and do thou likewise." You know what we are to do? I'm glad you're here today, but I want you to leave this auditorium in a few minutes after we dismiss and go and do thou likewise. In fact, 1 John, we've turned to this passage and it says this, 1 John chapter number 3. And I want you to notice in verse number 17. Let's start in verse number 16. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Can I wrap this up and say this to you? I'm going to be honest with you. Let's just get it right down to the road. The reason that we do not do what is commanded for us here is that we just don't care. We just don't care. We really, let's be honest today, the reason we do not have compassion is because we just don't care about people. We say we do, "I'll pray for you," but we don't care. And brokes today, I'm going to tell you something, there'll be many of us that ought to come to this altar this morning and say, "God, It's not that I don't know who my neighbor is. It's that I will not be a neighbor to those in need. Lord, it's because I'm disobedient to you. It's because I'm wrapped up in my own life. I'm wrapped up in my own feelings, my own hurts, and my own problems that I'm dealing with. When God wants us to have compassion on those in need. And by the way, at the end of your life, let me tell you something. You will only have made a difference if you have given compassion to those in need. Folks, who is your neighbor today? I'd like to answer the scribe. Your neighbor is anyone that God brings on your path who is in need. Maybe right now God has put his finger on someone right now. Look here, that you need to show mercy towards. Someone that you need to show forgiveness towards. Someone that you need to give love to. They don't deserve love, but we are to give that love. Someone that you are to help and encourage. You say, but Pastor, they have taken advantage of me. But wait a minute. Have we not taken advantage of our Savior? Have we not expected Him to do so much for us? And we're so grateful for what He gives to us. But what are we doing for those in need? Who is your neighbor? Anyone in need. Let's bow our heads in prayer.